Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Break the walls down. Jeff, it's Tom, your co-host, ready to cover a Chris Jericho match.
I believe our first ever.
That's what I thought.
We got to do it, man. I know.
Been over a year, first Jericho match. Wow. There's definitely going to be some guys that we come across like, wow, I can't believe we didn't cover a match of his yet.
We got a few in the tank still, you know, both, you know, the men, the women, different, you know, TNA, like you never know. And so this is one where we're going to, you know, decide to throw a Jericho match in the mix here. So
how the hell are you doing?
Hey, you know what? Hey, I'm glad you asked. I am doing fantastic. I'm excited to talk about this one. This one was my idea, and so I'm pretty excited to get into this one. But doing well. You know, enjoying the weather, all that good stuff. Absolutely.
All right.
Well, so, yeah,
plug our shit and let's talk about why we're
ready. You know, I'm gonna jump right in. You can tell I got some excitement for this one. So at Payoff Pod, you guys all know the deal: Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff. Like, keep dropping us a few messages here and there. We like to hear what matches you want to do. Like, you know, we're talking to some, you know, potential guests. We're looking at some different matches we want to do. Like, you know, we got some different things mixing it up here, just about, you know, kind of, well, you know, it is the season, you know, the leaves are turning or about to turn. We're ready to, you know, get into some new stuff here. So it should be good. But it kind of starts at this point, getting into this Chris Jericho, Shawn Michaels match. Look at it. No Mercy 2008. I believe this is the first kind of No Mercy that we've done as well too. But this is one I had said, you know, they kind of shuffled the All Outs AEW, the All, yeah, the All Out show kind of schedule. But this was one where we said, hey, you know, Jericho being the guy he is on that show, like, let's talk about it. And so, you know, the G1 New Japan is starting, you know, this week as well too, or going on. And so, you know, that's another one too, him doing some time in New Japan. And so it just kind of made sense to, we're like, you know, why aren't we doing a Jericho match? And so here we are. And so, and of course, Tom doesn't hide his love of Shawn Michaels. And so when we were kind of looking at a list of and kind of compiling our best of Jericho matches, this one we're like, what the heck? Like, we have to do this one. Why wouldn't we do this one? And so that's how we got here. And so I'm excited about this one. How about you, man?
I'm pumped, dude. So here's what's interesting is I want us to be really good this year. I say this year because it's year two of us doing the show. I want us to find these matches that are just a little off the beaten path. I still want to cover the classics. Right, I still want to cover the all-time classics, the most famous matches, the matches we grew up on. But I want to find matches like this. And don't get me wrong. I mean, we know that this was a great feud. You'll get into it. Like, it's not that we don't remember this, but I just want to find stuff that's just a little off the beaten path, that's out of No Mercy, that's out of Backlash, that's out of Judgment Day. And at least once a month, if not more, cover some of these matches. Like, I'm really pumped to watch this match because I don't remember a whole hell of a lot of it. If this took place at WrestleMania, I'd remember more of it. So there's just stuff that happened on, call it the B shows, call it a smaller stage, whatever, whether it was TNA or a B show of the WWE or whatever it might be, I just want to start covering more of these. And so I think it's fun for us. I think it's also hopefully fun for all of you listening to just go back and watch some of these matches that you may not remember, that don't pop up on the highlight shows, but they're great matches, right? They're 4 or 5 star matches. They're going to be 8, 9s and maybe even a 10 on our payoff score, but just a little off the beaten path, Jeff. So that's all I got.
Yeah, absolutely. No, good stuff. So let's just jump right into it, man. We got the build. So throw us to it.
All right. It's time for the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
All right, here we are. We are in Portland, Oregon, at the Rose Garden, right downtown Portland. Really, interesting city. Very walkable, cool spot. Man, I'll tell you, if you've ever been up to like Oregon and really the Northeast in general, but man, they got some IPAs up there that are like, they will put you on your fucking ass. and you know, if you're not used to drinking those and you've been traveling and, you know, you slug them back like they're Miller Lights, I mean, whew. So I've had some good times in the Northwest. Yeah. Excellent. So Portland, that's what I always think. I always think IPAs when I think Portland. So Rose Garden, home of the Trailblazers, packed house. Dude, let's go through this show. How's this for a match to start us off? Matt Hardy defeating Mark Henry to retain his ECW championship. And Mark Henry is accompanied by Tony Atlas. Then we get Beth Phoenix being accompanied by Santina Marella, defeating Candice Michelle, women's match, 4 minutes, 40 seconds. Beth retains her belt. Mysterio and Kane go to a disqualification. If Mysterio had lost, he would have had to have unmasked. So we've been doing this Mysterio mask and eyeball thing for 20 years now.
How many times have you seen the guy be unmasked, you know? Jesus.
Oh, my goodness. Batista would defeat JBL, and that was to determine the number one contender. So Batista is going to be getting a future title shot here. Big Show defeats Undertaker by knockout in 10 minutes. Okay.
Sure.
So, not a great undercard, it doesn't look like, but pretty good final two matches here. We get Triple H keeping his world title against Jeff Hardy in 17 minutes. So always good to see Hardy in the world title picture. Jeff, do you ever think Jeff Hardy becomes world champion again?
Probably not in this run. I could see him maybe with a mid-card belt, but I don't see him winning the big one anymore.
Oh man, I was hoping you'd think that there'd be a Cinderella story and a fairy tale ending, and Jeff Hardy would get another world title reign.
I just don't.
Too little, too late, huh? Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Doesn't seem like they have anything major planned for him. And then Chris Jericho, Shawn Michaels, ladder match, world heavyweight title. And the rumor is they wanted to headline a pay-per-view and have plenty of time, which is why we maybe didn't get this big blow-off match earlier or on a major pay-per-view. So kind of tucked away here where they got the final billing, and I think we're going to see a hell of a match. But Jeff, walk us through the build, because this is if you had to look at like the 2000s decade, is that what we call it, like 2000 to 2010,
the aughts, or not?
Okay.
Yeah,
okay, this is one of the best wrestling feuds, I think. This was This was pretty good, man, in this era. Pretty damn good. So walk us through it.
So this No Mercy took place October 5th, 2008. But wind the clock back. We have to go back to the career-ending match for Ric Flair, Michaels, Ric Flair, WrestleMania. We're looking at 24, which was March 2008. After this match, you had Batista, and there's a whole lot on this one, and so I'm just going to take it slow, and we're going to get through it, but this is good stuff we want to talk about. So Batista confronting Michaels, of course, because of him, you know, sweet chin music, you know, Flair ending his career. Batista, not a fan of that, called him selfish, called him egotistical. So those two, Batista and Shawn Michaels, had a match. It was April 2008, and Chris Jericho was a special guest referee of that match at Backlash. So Michaels, he won. It was actually after, of course, playing a little bit of a heel here, faked the injury, gave Batista the sweet chin music. But then Jericho confronted Michaels, because he wasn't happy that, you know, he had used this, you know, fake injury in order to beat Batista. So you then had Judgment Day, May, Michaels beating Jericho at that show. You also had Michaels then kind of the next month beating Batista. It was a stretcher match. And so you've got Michaels, Jericho, Batista, all, like the three of them just kind of involved in this one and kind of what was happening. So you had Jericho doing his talk show segment, the highlight reel, which, I mean, who's better at a promo than Chris Jericho? Like, you know, doing this, it was that summer, June, you know, doing his show, and that, you know, getting a, you know, Michaels being attacked because Jericho threw a TV at him. It was just a, you know, a whole thing. And so part of the story was this, was that Michaels was injured to the point where, you know, he couldn't, you know, have the match. It was just, you know, the injury got flared up. It was just, it was a kind of a weird thing, but how it played out that, you know, Jericho going after, it was actually Michael's eye and a detached retina. And so, you know, that's why the match stoppage because of what was happening. So SummerSlam now, we're trying to get to October. We're August 2008. You have Michaels, one of, you know, the every, you know, you get a nickel every time a wrestler retires. Michaels announcing his retirement from pro wrestling that SummerSlam. He came out to the ring with his then wife, or still wife, Rebecca, former Nitro girl as well too. Forgot that she was a Nitro girl. She was a Nitro girl. And so to announce that, at, you know, after, you know, the injury he had sustained to his eye, which again, you know, serious eye injuries in the WWE, Tom, like we know, like in between Rey Mysterio and this, like you got to take that shit serious, you know? But you know, the storyline piece of this was he was going to retire because of, you know, not just, you know, the eye injury, but then, you know, just all the injuries he had sustained over his career. So you have Michaels, though, coming out, or excuse me, Jericho coming out as Michaels is giving this speech to talk about it, to say that, you know, Michaels is quitting because of what Jericho did to him. You had the two of them verbal jabs kind of back and forth. Michaels telling Jericho that he will never be Shawn Michaels. He can never live up to that. But And how I forgot about this, like, shame on me as a wrestling fan, but this was, you had Michaels and Rebecca going to leave the ring, but Michaels kind of, you know, not taking the punch and Rebecca getting hit by Chris Jericho when he went to hit Shawn Michaels instead. And so her taking a pretty stiff punch to the face.
Very stiff.
Some of the reports I read, because I went back and watched it, were that it was a little too stiff, so that there were some words exchanged after the fact. He didn't kind of, you know, pull it a little bit more as much as he should have. And so who knows the true story to that, but you had the medical trainers kind of looking after her. And so very important piece of this, of, you know, why the feud kind of kept building. You know, we were a few months prior to this where they were having matches, but now you have Jericho doing this, unintentional or not, of course. But of course, the following evening, Michaels, because of this, no longer retired, you know, back in it and challenging Jericho to an unsanctioned match at Unforgiven, which of course Jericho accepted. You know, a little bit of the promo work back and forth. And so, which a line, who knows if he could pull it off today, maybe, but Jericho stating he had no remorse for hitting Michael's wife and that she had it coming. So, you know, and so just kind of interesting. But of course, as we always happens, we get the contract signing for this unsanctioned match, and, you know, flipping tables, of course, but then they have the Unforgiven match, and that Michaels really just kicked the crap out of Jericho so much that they had to call the match. It was 26 minutes. It wasn't bad, actually. And so, but Michaels just kicked the crap out of him, plain and simple. So Unforgiven, though, Michaels actually had, or excuse me, Jericho actually had double duty on this one. So you had Jericho getting beat by Michaels, but then this was at the time, and they were doing the championship scrambles.
Do you remember what that was? I vaguely remember.
Yeah, and so you kind of had Yeah, it was like you had like and this is when we need to dig in and do a little bit more. But he ended up replacing CM Punk in this championship scramble. It was Batista, Kane, John, or JBL, and Rey Mysterio. And so because the title was vacant because of some things that happened with CM Punk, and so you had that as well too. So. And it was Punk had actually been attacked earlier in the evening by Randy Orton. And so that was why Jericho became the replacement. So you have this, you know, Jericho wins, though, even though he lost like this match to Michaels, he ends up winning the World Heavyweight Championship this night at Unforgiven. So the next night, though, he wins it. and that he also had to compete in a 2-on-1 handicap match against Batista. So Jericho putting in solid work over the 24 hours, three matches, really going to it and getting that win. So even though he kind of, you know, it was dealing with that, you know, kind of had to have the championship scramble match, which we'll get some more info on that one and kind of how it all worked, because neither, you know, you and I remember it happening, but not the specific details. Probably not a worse or bad thing if they're not doing it anymore. But you had as well, Chris Jericho then, it was just September now, so we're getting closer and closer to October. It was actually an episode of Raw, CM Punk taking on Chris Jericho, you know, for the title as well. So kind of interesting, you know, that that didn't happen as well too. You know, just, well, that one did happen, but he wasn't able to win. Punk wasn't. So just really, you know, all these little pieces of kind of, you know, the involvement of, while these guys weren't always constantly feuding for the few months that this was happening, again, they were just kind of always, again, like we said before, on the outside of what was happening. And so what you had, though, was, and I had forgotten, Raw General Manager Mike Adamly, American Gladiators fame, as we all know, which I had seen recently, it's like some shoot videos on him. He was not well-liked. I remember not being a fan of him either. It just didn't fit in well.
Well, when he called Jeff Hardy Jeff Harvey, and he had a clipboard to remember his lines, it was not good.
Yeah, and so I thought it was Hardly, but you're right, Harvey. So, and so, of course, Jericho suggesting that Batista and JBL face each other, but kind of switching it back on him because Jericho just trying to play the heel and do that up. You then had the surprise of Shawn Michaels emerging to be Jericho's opponent as well, too. So Michaels had, you know, been away for a little bit, kind of playing up the kind of angles and whatnot. Michaels, though, coming out as the surprise competitor to Jericho and, of course, bringing a ladder. And so suggesting why this should be the ladder match, you know, bringing it out. They wanted this to be the showstopper, you know, really the showstopper, making this famous, you know, the ladder match. And so a whole lot of little pieces to this in regards to like the long, like these guys having some matches and then kind of, you know, I say like kind of the roads diverged a little bit. Jericho taking on Punk, kind of, you know, having the belt for a little bit, being involved with Batista as well too, and kind of, you know, this really number one contenders match, which was the Batista JBL match, which was taking place at No Mercy, which is why Jericho, you know, didn't want to be involved in that, didn't want to match, and so tough luck. Here comes Shawn Michaels as your competitor. Enjoy your ladder match. So, a lot of, you know, little pieces to, you know, how this one got to, you know, where we were, and just really interesting in my opinion. So Tom, what are your thoughts?
Loved it. Good build, long build, a lot of good stuff that came in. These two guys obviously don't need a script. I mean, they can, this is just two pros. So I'm sure a lot of this stuff they came up with and improvised throughout, but great storyline. I love how it weaved through some other stuff. I love the title being in the mix. It was great. Perfect.
Yep. Absolutely. So
get into it.
Yeah. So let's get into this and I'm excited. Let's make this happen.
No Mercy 2008, we're at the 2-hour-and-15-minute mark. No Mercy 2008, we're at the 2-hour-and-15-minute mark. Jeff, it's time for the payoff.
Ho! It's time for the payoff.
All right, here we go. World heavyweight graphic. HBK, Jericho. Hey, what do you think of Jericho with this short hair?
He's a renaissance man. He can do what he wants. I'm a fan of all of it. I like the, I will always forever be a fan of the light up jacket. That's my favorite. And so, having that as well too, a big fan.
Yeah. I did not like the short hair. This is one of my least favorite, maybe my least favorite Chris Jericho looks.
And this is Michaels before he lost his hair. So,
Boy, I know
fans going nuts on this one. So good stuff happening.
So, look at, I mean, Jericho just getting the shit boot out of him right now.
And so kind of jawing at each other, and you know,
I like,
and this was
too, I like this too. I like the just staring down, nice and slow.
And these guys, and really, you know, while you know, Michaels had some matches between, you know, the Flair match and this, like the career match, you know, retirement match between Ric Flair, like that was the match of the decade in PWI. And so
Flair Michaels was?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. And so, like, to say, like, you know, that's what he's coming off of, and then to put these two guys together, like, you know, it's really, you would hope for something special. And that's kind of what they, you know, we're trying to get and trying to make happen. Absolutely. Now, of course, there's only been, like, it really only one match of the decade in the 2000s.
Wow.
And we're still in, you know.
You know what's so funny is, and this was, I know, like, Ric Flair, like, wasn't in the best place, like, in his life at certain times, but Flair was so disappointed in his performance and, like, so low on himself after that match.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, you had, I mean, that match was incredible.
Well, and so, and this was interesting because you had, not only was, like, Flair and Michaels the match of the decade, the feud of the decade was Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho.
So, okay. So I didn't know that. I said this was one of the better builds of the decade. I mean, this was the real deal, man, these two.
And these guys, and that's the thing, is we're looking at just this small window in 2008. Like, these guys had other run-ins. And so, you know, you got to kind of take that into consideration. But then you also had Shawn Michaels that was one, the inspirational wrestler of the decade. So, you know, and the most popular, and this would be interesting because I know we don't have this in our notes, but who was the most popular and the most hated wrestler from 2000 to 2010?
I mean, I'd imagine the most popular was John Cena.
Correct.
The most hated. Did you, are you looking at it right now?
I'm looking at it right now. Yep.
God, the biggest heel of the 2000s. I mean, really, the most hated was probably John Cena as well. But I don't. What did they have? Jericho?
Triple H.
Okay, yeah, it's fine.
And so that makes sense. So.
Yeah, he was a heel for pretty much all of it.
And then Triple H also winning the wrestler of the decade. So most hated, but then also the wrestler of the decade, which says a lot about wrestling fans. So there you go. But so to this match, we've got no ladders in the ring right now, but they're using them a little bit. Michael's kind of, you know, there's one right in the entrance ramp. You can see a couple leaned up against the guardrails as well too, but nothing in the ring happening yet. Just a little bit of action outside of the ring.
I forgot how many pay-per-view matches and just matches in general these guys had.
Yeah, and that was, it's interesting for us to kind of go back and see maybe like where or just how many matches that these guys did have, especially if they were the match of the decade, or, you know, excuse me, the feud of the decade. You know, I'm sure that we're forgetting a lot, I'm sure.
There was even after this match, there was a DX versus Jericho tag title match.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. When you had all these matches, you had the one at WrestleMania 19.
Yeah, and those are good. So you got now using the ladders, not set up, but you had Jericho being tripped by Michaels into the ladder. And so
Walls of Jericho.
The walls. Yeah, exactly. And
so does he do the Walls of Jericho in AEW?
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest. I haven't watched it in probably, you know, solid in a couple of months. And
that's so why I was asking have a you. Match.
Yeah, I know. And just watch, with everything.
You know, you should be watching it. You're in their key demo.
I am their key demo. You, me, both. And so, yeah, you know, but no, but, you know, current product, no, not what I've been watching lately. I haven't been watching much of any of it. So, and now finally we have Jericho pulling the first ladder into the ring. And then, of course, a couple ladder spots, things happening here. So,
so do you notice, like, you can see, like, kind of the whole arena on some, like, the long shots? This is like an NBA building, right? That's the thing I loved. Like, last week when we watched the match at the Nassau Coliseum, I loved it. Like those old school buildings where there weren't a bunch of LED boards and private suites, and you were a lot closer to the action. Like, this isn't a huge arena, but I mean, there's people that have a terrible view up top. You really didn't have seats like that at some of the old school ones. Jericho already bleeding out of his mouth.
a ref kind of checking on him too. Yeah, I'm with you. I think that kind of homier, environment and kind of them, going at, so Jericho, Michael's up on the ladder, but Jericho climbing up behind him. They're both on the same side of the ladder. Yeah, I think, well, and I enjoy, part of it is, you and I've seen wrestling shows. We've both been to WrestleMania, so we've seen them in the large arenas and venues. Mine was Ford Field. You've been to a few more than me, but, so you've seen a little bit more of the spectacle than I have since then. Slingshot to Michaels right onto the ladder, but catches himself and goes up for the belt real quick. That was a quick climb. I didn't know people could climb a ladder that fast. But then I've also seen, in Dearborn, Michigan, I've seen in a gym, the New Japan War of the Worlds, and seeing some of the best wrestlers in the planet wrestling in a literally like a community center gym. And so, it's so much of it's just the product. And this is one where these guys are going to put on a show no matter where they're at, but definitely the environment helps.
It makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference for them. It makes a huge difference you're watching. I always think, too, you ever notice, when there's a Raw in, Chicago, and it's like, dude, it's just so much louder. It's so much better. They try to put on a better show. It's just, it makes such a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and the crowd is so much a part of it, too. And, and that's so much. And we've said there are just certain towns where, WWE, AEW, we were still having crowds. God only knows when that's going to happen again. But, it can make or break. If people know Chicago, it's going to be a shit show, but in the best kind of way. But then you've got the famous beach balls in Cesaro, don't ever bring a beach ball around Cesaro. So, really just depends on reading the crowd and seeing what's happening. I'm not a big beach ball fan either, but I get it.
Yeah, I don't know. I see both sides of it, man. It's pretty wild though, being there for a Raw after WrestleMania. Place is just, it's just a whole different experience. I mean, it's awesome.
Michael's doing the crazy selling into the corner, kind of going off, and then Jericho getting thrown into the corner and getting tied up in one of the ladders that was propped up there. And
It's funny because some of the worst spots for these guys are the things that don't even look that good. Like that Jericho thing right there. I mean, that could have really, really hurt and been a pain in the ass, but it's not that great of a spot, but then they could fall 10 feet into a table and be just fine.
Well, and his knee is kind of wrapped up in a weird way. And so part of it is, I think a lot of times when you see an injury in these matches and correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of times it's when the ladder gets a little, a little loosey goosey, it just kind of, it takes a weird bounce or, the playing stuff, and I think still one of my favorite spots is it was a Kalisto doing his finisher over the top of the ladder, Salida del Sol, and breaking the ladder that was propped across him. And so I think that was just, it's really cool to see, but then you get a ladder that bounces weird after you throw it in somebody's face and all of a sudden you're missing, a bunch of your teeth and you're bleeding. That's the shit that hurts, I'm sure. Yeah. It's those stingers that you don't expect.
Yeah. No kidding.
So we got a little bit of a figure four here in the corner. Michael's trying to get it, trying to get it rolled over. A little bit of submission work here. Not a lot of, the ladder. Oh, that's a spot you don't see anymore. And so kicking the ladder, it was propped across the ropes into Michael's face. That was good. I think just and I wonder, especially, these guys too, just how much of it, while I'm sure some of the spots they knew ahead of time, but just how much of it they're like, fuck it, let's just call it in the ring. You got two absolute just pros in the ring, and how much of it these guys just say, hey, we're gonna, go out there and just put on a show for everybody.
Yeah, that was a brutal little spot there.
So that was a slingshot for those of you at home that may not be listening. So we had Michaels laying under a ladder that's across the bottom two ropes, and Jericho going to slingshot him, and he just hits right into the bottom of the ladder. So this is one too, I think. Crowd just watching, seeing what's happening, things like that. So I think
that's the only challenge. That's one of the challenges with a ladder match is, I mean, not that the match would end by pinfall 6 minutes in, but you take out the element of pinfalls and it hurts you in the sense of right now, nothing, right? The match can't end right now.
Like there's no roll up. There's no close count. There's, you know, so it's a little bit different where, you know, this match is going 20 minutes. You know, they're going to use the ladder a lot. You know that there's no pinfalls. It's kind of the same way with the steel cage. So, you know, it does take some things out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one too, where again, like, and so we got the ladder set up now, Jericho climbing one side of it. Michael's trying to get up to his feet to get to the other side of it. It's just interesting. I know. And I think too, you and I've had this conversation. Are you like thoughts on, I remember we were together when Jericho won the belt for the first time in AEW. Are you a fan of, like, at least, you know, I know you don't watch as much, but just him being that guy at the time and kind of being really a top heel in the promotion? Like,
I
got it for you.
Yeah. I think it made perfect sense. I mean, if you look at how they booked him, and I guess, did he have the title for like a year, maybe? Maybe a little over a year. I'm not sure exactly how long,
but yeah.
So the point being is, like, being the first champion, I thought it made perfect sense. I mean, it's the biggest star that they realistically could have had that could still work main events, who that hardcore audience would take seriously. I mean, he checks a lot of boxes, right? Great promo, legit, you know, still can work. Big ass star, big name, brought some people back into it, or people that otherwise wouldn't have watched, you know, likable guy, doesn't have an ego, willing to put anyone over. So yes, he was the perfect guy. It was great they were able to get him. I don't blame him for going there. You know, it was certainly, more fulfilling than his, you know, time in WWE would have been. Limited schedule. So, yeah, I thought it was a win for him, a win for AEW. Why not? You know, he's going to make a hell of a lot of money working a very limited schedule over a 3-year time. And then maybe he wants to work with the younger guys and be an announcer. It's kind of crazy to think that Chris Jericho won't ever be back in the WWE, but he's probably not going to ever be back in the WWE.
Right. And this is one. So he had the belt for 182 days. So literally just 6 months. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Felt longer, but I guess because he was before they coming up with the title and stuff.
And it was about 2 years ago. It was August 31st, 2019 when he first won it. So a little over a year ago where he first had it. So Michael's now using the ladder, just kicking the crap out of Jericho, throwing it from the ring to a Jericho who's laying prone on the outside, just throwing it on top of him. And it was just, that's how both of us had that reaction of, oh man. So
as part of that SmackDown announce team, I always thought he was really good on commentary.
He's good, and especially doing in AEW now too. Just really good stuff. And so and now you've got Michaels clearing the table, the announce table, getting ready to break it, and of course, or getting ready for the spot with a ladder that's set up right next to it. And so good stuff on this one. So would you
climbing the ladder? I don't remember this match at all.
Yeah, and this is one, like we said, when we were kind of getting into this, so Jericho is propping himself up, kind of going after it. And so some of these too, and I have been very critical, and I know you have as well too, about some of the setup for, and they are both, this is looking very precarious.
Oh,
and back through the table. It weren't necessarily, you know, so many spots nowadays, the setup is so long and like it takes so long to get it right that it just doesn't look good. I haven't seen a bad ladder spot yet in this match.
You mean like one that was overproduced?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, they're just, I mean, it's obviously if two guys were fighting, they probably wouldn't be, you know, hammering each other with a ladder. So you have to suspend some belief. I get that. But at the same time, it's not like, hey, I'm going to set all these things up. So yes, this was a cut. That to me is a really just dangerous spot for no reason. Like, especially for Jericho, man, you could bang your head and coming down pretty hard.
And that was their way to control it. If you notice, they kind of shot the table a little far. They were so close to it.
Yeah.
Like how they kind of went through and kind of handled it. Yeah. And so, well, and I'm kind of disappointed to hear, Tom, you've never been in a ladder fight. Like you would not, you know, you don't think that people would bring a ladder to, you know, a fight at any given point. Like, you know, what's the deal? You've watched wrestling for long enough. Do you not believe that shit? Like what the hell, man?
I've never been in a fight that involved a ladder. I have, but not a real one. Just a worked one.
like I said, you know, if I'm ever, you know, at a, getting a bar fight or at a Buffalo Bills tailgate, like, you know, I know that the table may not break. So, you know, you got to be prepared for all outcomes though. And so if there's a ladder in the room, like I need to put some distance between me, I'm going for the ladder, plain and simple, you know.
First backyard match I ever worked involved a ladder.
Did it?
Yeah, I took a diamond cutter off the top, threw some cardboard boxes.
See, and that, you know, that's what it is. It's all about the ladder. So, again, so we've got ladders a little bit all over the place on this one. We got Michael's trying to do something.
Yeah, they're using the ladder a ton. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's the ladder's been almost involved in everything. You know what sounds crazy? I'm so used to watching all these like 18-man Money in the Bank matches or tag matches. It's like, I don't feel like you watch a one-on-one ladder match very often. It's just so different.
It is. And that's a solid point. And this is a very scary spot. So this is Michaels on the top turnbuckle, Jericho on a ladder that's pretty much being held between the two of them, trying to suplex him. And here you go, Jericho, a little woozy. And Michael's pushing him back. Yep. Oof. Did a good job of protecting himself there, though, kind of letting go of the ladder and let it happen. So, but that's a good point. I would have to agree with you. You just don't see, and maybe, you know, I'm sure we're forgetting some, but you just don't see a whole lot of single. Oh, he kind of missed that one a little bit. Didn't get it all, as they say. Yeah. You don't see a whole lot of single ladders matches anymore.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you figure most of them you see, like, wasn't there one at WrestleMania that was New Day and was that three? That was a three way there, right? It was three singles guys.
Yes.
Was it like Morrison, right. Big E or something like that? Okay. And one of the Usos maybe. And then, yeah, but you just don't see, and then obviously Money in the Bank this year, but you just don't see the one-on-one, hey, we got to hang this title from the rafters one-on-one anymore.
Well, and that's, you know, Money in the Bank. That is like the piece of it is you got to climb the ladder. And so much of it. Michael's trying to tune up the band a little bit here. Here we go. But struggling, leaning against the rope. Man, just talk about one of the best sellers ever. Like, my God.
I think he's a great seller. I think Lesnar. I think those are two of my favorites of all time.
Yeah, some of these guys that we've just had, you know, recently talking about on the show. And Michael's going in for Sweet Chin Music, but Jericho grabbing one of the ladders and throwing it into Michael so he can't hit it. So just fantastic stuff there. Yep.
This is a hell of a match so far.
It really is. Yep.
Yeah, a ton of ladder spots.
So again, using the ladder, laying it over the top of Michaels now. Jericho, we don't even know what he's going to do. We're just kind of waiting to see it here. The moonsault on top, onto the top of Michaels, but Jericho too hurt to go for the belt. I was going to say go for the cover, but go for the belt.
I know we say this all the time on here, but there's just too many damn belts. It's like, you know, they just had a world title match. Now they have another world title match.
Well, and I thought I just heard a thing where they were talking about redesigning one of the belts or something like that. And so just like, you know, yeah. And we've said it like at any given day or week, like if you were to say, you know, who owns or, you know, who is in possession of what belts, like, you couldn't go through the whole list right now. And even if you get rid of, you know, the kind of 24/7 or things like that, like, I don't even know.
Oh, right. God.
Is this spot? You know, that was rough.
When Jesus. They do those like big, yeah, crowd going nuts. When they do those big spots where they just fall out to the ring like that, I mean, like, God, it's just hard to believe you wouldn't twist your knee or your ankle or really hurt yourself. I mean, he's selling it, but like, hey, watch this. So this you've got to be 9 feet in the air and then you're thrown 5 feet across.
And he landed on his feet.
Oh, yeah.
And so you just know that hurt like hell.
Hands into HBK.
Yeah, kind of going over. And that's one of the tall ladders, too. That's one of the, it looks like one of the 10 footers because you got Michaels who's about halfway up it. So, yeah. And to get dumped off like that, yeah, that, and I mean, even with the fall, that's like a 15 foot fall at least.
That's what,
like,
I'm saying. Oh, yeah.
Like, just terrible. So Jericho is still on the outside trying to crawl his way. Michaels making the slow climb up to the top of the ladder here in the center of the ring. Waiting to see what happens here.
HBK is getting close. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, that can't feel good either, getting thrown on the ropes. I mean, I don't care how you land. It's just those things are not soft, as you certainly know.
Yeah, of course. Yes, I know all too well. Yes, of course.
So, I mean, this is just a battle.
Yeah, and this is really kind of, I say, picked up. Like, just kind of, not even picked up. It's just been, you know, strong style. Just these guys kicking the crap out of each other.
And this is it. I mean, this is the blow off to the feud. This is the big payoff. Guy's been jawing back and forth better part of the year. And Michaels really didn't do much that wasn't awesome during his full run back. I mean, I know it's a pretty long run, but I mean,
and both guys here, and this is the kind of classic shot that we've used for our graphic this week of Jericho and Michaels at the top of the ladder, and here comes the interference. Yep.
Lance Cade. Michaels trained him.
Yep. And so getting interference, grabbing Michaels' leg, you've got Jericho tied up in the ladder, kind of strung up upside down.
Yeah, I mean, he's put upside down for 20 seconds. It's great. Super kick on Cade. He's out cold. Jericho. No, get him.
And Jericho now, yeah.
On Sean.
Sean trying to climb after fighting, but couldn't get it unhooked. Both guys just going for it. This is one I, you know, and we're not going to spoil it, but genuinely no clue who is going to get it at this point. And both guys, both hands on the belt with both guys, both them holding onto it. And then they're just laying back on it. It's unstrapped. Jericho's just pulling on it one direction, like barely, not even on the ladder almost. And Michael's trying to pull him back in, holding the other side of the belt over the hook. And these guys, just a classic look. My God. Oh, Jericho with the headbutt and pulling it down and falling off big time. There you go.
Oh, I hate the finish.
Right.
As a fan, great match. All right, you ready to get into the aftermath?
Let's get into it, my friend.
All right. It's time for the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
All right, initial thoughts?
Way better than expected.
Really?
Yeah, I knew we were doing this match, but I think just some of the spots and kind of, you know, the work they put in, I did not expect it to be as good as it was.
Finish was great.
Yeah. I thought you didn't like the finish. You were right.
Well, I was kidding. I didn't like the finish as a Shawn Michaels fan. I would have liked, yeah. I wanted Shawn to have a longer title run when he won it in 2002 or a title run at some other point. I mean, for as much as they flip flop titles, I would have loved to have seen him get the title one more time. It just never happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
He could have won it here. I mean, cause you know, you'll get into it, but I mean, the title kept flip flopping around. It's like, if they could have given Michaels a three pay-per-view run, I would have loved it, but oh, well,
good stuff either way. So
yeah, no, it was.
So what do we got going on here? Kind of what happened, you know, just all that good stuff. And so, you know, Jericho, and of course, the pay-per-view that we've said that needs to come back, Cyber Sunday. it was actually October, a couple weeks later. This No Mercy was at the beginning of October, and then you've got this Cyber Sunday at the end of October. Going back to the earlier feud, Jericho actually lost this title to Batista, but won it back again from Batista. It was actually the 800th episode of Raw in a steel cage match. And so, again, kind of using that feud and kind of both guys kind of going back and kind of doing that. But then again, you had a last man standing match. It was on Raw November 10th where Jericho beat Michaels again after some interference.
Oh, did Jericho have a tooth knocked out?
Yeah, we're watching the after. It sure looks like it. Yep.
Oh, my God.
And so well, probably explain the bleeding. So there you go. So he eventually did lose the World Heavyweight Championship. Jericho did at Survivor Series to John Cena. They ended up having a rematch as well too. He ended up losing that one as well. So, he was in the Royal Rumble. He was at the Elimination Chamber as well too. And then he also started having, this led to the WrestleMania 25 match, kind of feuding with some of the legends, Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat, Jimmy Snuka, Roddy Piper, and Mickey Rourke. And so, he pulled out of that match, but Jericho did beat the 3-on-1 handicap match against Piper, Snuka, and Steamboat. And so, just kind of putting on the work for the older guys putting over for the younger guy, you love to see it. So, kind of happening there. So, you had Michaels though, this was December of that year. He was written into a storyline with JBL, who was at the time, like the tycoon, the rich businessman, whatever you want to call it. That after like he failed to help JBL win the title from John Cena, him and JBL, Michaels and JBL had a match as well too. It was kind of a really weird angle. Like there was a contract and they're kind of working for him and all this other stuff. It was really weird.
Yeah, that was, they tried, but it was so goofy. I didn't like it. Mm-hmm.
So you then had, which eventually leading into Michaels and the WrestleMania 25 match against The Undertaker. This was one where, it ended up being 17-0 for Taker, but you didn't know. This is one where you didn't know if they were going to pull the trigger. You didn't know what was going to happen. And so led to that match for Michaels and then took some time off for a better part of a year. So, so interesting kind of how it played out. I'd say overall, like this – in a lot of ways, this match was the kind of cap to this, I don't want to say feud, but to this kind of chapter in the two of them. But, both guys, of course, some weird kind of stories in some spots and just kind of how it played out. But overall, though, it made sense from, kind of a storyline standpoint of having him go back and face Batista. And then Michaels and Undertaker, of course, had their long feuds over the years as well, too. So that kind of made sense as well. So, Tom, thoughts on the aftermath?
Solid. I mean this was kind of it, man. So it's one of those where I think based on the nature of this feud, it's not so much about the aftermath, right? It's about the build and it's about the payoff, the final payoff and really the payoffs of matches. So I liked it, man. It's good makes stuff. Sense.
So PWI, we've been adding it to the show, as you know, I say we've added it to the show. We've been doing it for 6 months. And so PWI ranking, time flies when you're sitting at home during a quarantine, and so this year, Jericho was 29. Michaels was 7. As we already said, it was the feud of the year. Jericho was one of the most hated this year. This was interesting. So the feud of the year, so Jericho was the most hated and Michaels was the runner up. And then Michaels was the most popular and Jericho had the comeback of the year. So these guys, like, I don't think I remember just how this year, and we need to, we kind of talk through it. And that's why I included so much like these guys, this was the year of Jericho and Michaels in 2008.
Oh yeah.
These guys had a lot of stuff going on, just very involved in each other's career at this point. So, Yeah, so this is one, kind of the reviews, really interesting on this one. And so it was voted, at least on the Observer, as the match of the night. Some kind of interesting kind of tidbits here and kind of things here. I'll say they gave it 4.5 stars. Excuse me, they. Dave Meltzer, everyone, you know, Tom's favorite, you know, wrestling reviewer. 4.5 stars on this one, but some of the write-ups on this one, when it said that No Mercy on paper looked like a two-match show, that someone picking and choosing only a few shots a year could easily, or a few shows a year could easily skip. The saving grace on paper was a Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho ladder match with two men who have reputations for excelling in that type of bout. But putting the guys against each other in tag matches on Raw the last 2 weeks before the show seemed to take something special away from what has been the best, the best verbal and angle-wise feud in WWE this year. No matter how the business for showing winds up being, or no matter how the business for the show winds up being, No Mercy ends up being one of the best shows of any kind this year. Boy, that is a bad sentence. Anyways, I'm reading. I'm not that bad at reading, but anyways, it's just written poorly. So when it was over, a few things stood out. Every match was a straight singles match. There was no elaborate rules except in the main event, and there was little interference except Lance Cade, Santino Marella, and no ref bumps on the card. Who doesn't love a ref bump, you know? I don't even recall any low blows, and the company appears to have a fairly new policy against blading. And so interesting this point in the year. So both men paid the price. Michaels was said to be hurting bad after the match, but didn't think any injuries were serious. Yep, here you go. Jericho had half a tooth knocked out of his mouth and his lip busted badly early in the match during the teeter-totter ladder spot. As I've already said, 4.5 stars. Tom, go for it.
I'm going to surprise you here.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I have this as a 7.
Okay.
The feud was really good. The build was really good. The match was, I hate saying this, but the match is what you would expect from Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho in a ladder match.
Yep.
I don't think it was better than that. I don't think it was worse than that. I think it was what you would expect from these two in a ladder match. I thought it was solid, but not spectacular. It didn't really have a lot of big spots. They kind of just beat the shit out of each other, which was probably really painful, but it didn't look sports entertaining painful, right? You know, it didn't have the big splash off the top that probably wouldn't hurt. They've done it a million times, but they chose to do these like quirky little ladder spots that probably hurt like hell, but they don't look great on TV. So I don't know. I mean, being that this is like the end all be all blow off, again, 7. It was, the build was really, really good, long, great. I just, the match just didn't do it for me. And maybe there's a tiny little part of me that's just a fucking mark and wanted to see Shawn Michaels win one more title during this run. So I would have liked to have seen him win. Even if he lost the title the next night or at the next pay-per-view, I would have loved to have seen him somehow win it and celebrate and fireworks and all that stuff. What about you?
And you say that, I'm not going to change what I had. I had this at 8.5 because I think the build was just too good. I think that it kind of, you know, I kind of question, you know, how I give scores and look at it like, you know, oh, I wish there was more to the aftermath. But at the same time, like, this was the really, in a lot of ways, the end to the feud. So, yep. You know, what more? So I'm complaining for complaining's sake of like, but what more, you know, what am I not getting that I want? I don't know, you know, that, and that's the thing. And so, well, you know, so that's why I'm going to stick with 8.5 because I think that, you know, I don't want to lower it in any way, even though I just felt like maybe, you know, hey, I'm looking for something that's probably not there. And like you said, we're just armchair marks big time on this one and just, you know, kind of, you know, picking and choosing our spots and what we want to complain about. So, but you know, that's what we can do. It's our show. We can do whatever the fuck we want. So, you know, that's part of the nice part of it. So, yeah, 8.5, because I think the build, and especially like, you know, at a time when you could get away with, you know, just, or it was, I say not get away, but it was unusual to see, you know, Jericho just fucking straight right Michael's wife in the face. So, you know, nowadays, you know, that story, you know, women's wrestling is a lot bigger and ingrained and it's not as big a deal, but that piece of it, like at the time, like, you know, he cold cocked her. So, you know, good parts to all that. So like I said, I'm going to stick with 8.5. Yeah. You said what, 7, we got 4.5 stars on this one. And so, but overall, like I said, and some of the spots were brutal, like Jesus, like I had forgotten that fact, and man, that was, they took a beating and you can see it in the match, but it was good stuff. All right. Final thoughts. I'm good to go, man. I enjoyed that one though. I'm glad we covered it because that was a fun one no matter what.
What do you always like to say?
I was sports entertained.
Exactly.
I was definitely sports entertained after the end of that match.
Nah, that was a fun one. Glad we covered it. I like I said at the beginning of the show, I want to keep finding ones like this that I won't say it's a hidden gem, but it's a little off the beaten path. And matches like this, if it was on SummerSlam or it was on a WrestleMania, you probably, you know, would remember it a lot better. So we'll keep finding these. We'll keep pointing them out for you. We'll keep watching them. Hope you watch it with us. Great episode. We're in the fall, man. Leaves are changing and a lot of fun events to cover that I feel like we kind of skipped over. We haven't covered many Halloween Havocs. I don't think we've done much from the Survivor Series. I don't know. I'm excited to, you know, really stick with our theme of covering the matches of the moment, if you will, those that took place in, you know, the months and weeks that we're in previous years. So it'll be fun. So I'm looking forward to it. Great episode. And as always, thank you for your support at Payoff Pod, wherever you social media it. And as always, this is Tom, Jeff, thank you for joining us on The Payoff.